Welcome to the Heartland Baptist Podcast. I'm Steve Swan, one of the pastors here at Heartland.
And I'm Joel Carla, also one of the pastors here at Heartland.
You can expect on this feed to hear the Sunday morning teaching from Heartland, usually from either Joel or I.
But sometimes from awesome guest speakers as well. If you want to get in touch with us to find out more about our church, if you have something that you'd like us to pray about, or you just want to say hi, visit us online at heartlandbaptist.ca.
And if you don't want to miss anything, subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast app. We also have a YouTube page if you prefer video, which is just at youtube.com/@ Heartland, then Heartland Baptist. This summer, we're taking a look at what it means to abide. So each week, we are going to take a look at a different practice that will help us abide, remain, and dwell with the source of life, Jesus.
You know, we just celebrated Canada Day this past week, and I was sitting with some friends last week, and they weren't born here, and they were asking me, "Hey, what are some like distinctly like what is Canadian food? Like, what is it that makes like do you have a national like dish?" And I was trying to think, because like beyond poutine. Which, I mean, let's face it, it's pretty fantastic. Is there any, like, food? Is there any dishes? Is there any cuisine that is, like, just uniquely Canadian? Okay, Nanaimo Bar's cheesies, sure. Hawkins cheesies, yeah. Tim Hortons, I guess. They have it in the States. I got thinking, like, hey, like, Canadian cultural distinctives... I mean, they're sort of hard to come by, aren't they, right? We have this unique kind of combination in Canada where we have an oversized American cultural influence, even though, you know, hey, our relationship with them is not what it was. We have our history as a British colony and some of the sensibilities that we've inherited from that. And then we have our desire as a nation to not just assimilate those folks who come from all over the world to Canada, but to welcome other cultures and to celebrate those distinctives as they come into Canada. And all of this kind of makes it hard to say, well, what is it that's uniquely Canadian? What is it that's unique about us? What is it? We don't have cuisine. We don't have a real distinct cultural identity. We have fragments, we have pieces from a whole bunch of different places. And maybe that makes us a unique culture, I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is where we live, where we grow up, what the culture that we are in, it shapes us, doesn't it? I think one of the distinctives that we have, one of the things that's kind of we hang our hat on, is that we're very polite here in Canada, right? That shapes us. But that politeness is kind of on the surface, right? Like it's said that, you know, Canadians are polite, but not necessarily kind. And Americans are kind, but not necessarily polite. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't think it's universally true, of course. But I do think we're known for our outward politeness. But, you know, it's kind of on the surface. It's a surface level kind of thing. In fact, I was at the disc golf course at Rainbow Park this last week. And, I was just throwing a few practice shots while I was waiting for my friends to arrive so we could play a round of disc golf. And this lady just comes up and starts talking to me. And I was like, this is weird. People don't usually just come up and start talking to me. But it made sense when she said, oh, she's from Alaska. She's American, right? So she just she came up and started talking to me. And that's just not a very Canadian thing to do. That's not something we do here in Canada as often, I think. And being a Canadian, I politely answered her and then, you know, went on my way. But, you know, I'll hold the door open for you. If I'm passing you in the grocery store, I'll kind of sneak right by you real quick here. You know, that's a Canadian thing. Being Canadian has shaped me. And when we drill down to a smaller level, I think that where we, like, cities can shape us too. Our neighborhoods can shape us. You know, one of the things I've noticed about growing up here in Prince George is that we tend to have more of a distrust of, say, governing authorities up here in Prince George than maybe in the places where those decisions are made, right? We have this distrust because we often feel that, you know, they don't really get us down there, right? They don't really understand, you know, the North. Our isolation as a community, I think, means that we're more likely to band together as a community. I think there's positives about that because we have this sense of place. But just like our city or our country shapes us, shapes how we see the world, shapes our actions, shapes our thoughts, our spiritual life is also shaped by where we dwell. And Jesus tells us exactly where we need to dwell if we want to grow, have life in him. Let's go back to John chapter 15, where we started last week. Jesus talks about being the true grapevine. And we learn that for followers of Jesus, what is essential for our spiritual vitality, if we want to be formed and shaped into the people that God is calling us to be, we must abide, remain, and dwell with Jesus. And here's how we define that last week. We define it by this. Abiding in Christ is a commitment to staying connected to Jesus, cultivating dependence on him. Let me say that again. Abiding in Christ is a commitment to staying connected to Jesus, cultivating dependence on him. Now, I want to clarify something from last week. Dependence on Jesus is a good thing, but a lot of us hear that word dependence, and we have the wrong picture. We think of codependence, which is typically defined as an unhealthy human dependence on someone else for our physical and emotional well-being, our ability to do things. And that's not the picture of dependence that I want us to have as we think about Jesus and our dependence on him. So here's the difference. Codependency is born out of insecurity. Dependence on Jesus produces confidence. Okay? You see the difference? As we rely on Jesus, we learn confidence. Confidence in who he's created us to be. Confidence in how he's gifted us. Confidence that he is faithful and dependable as we remain connected to him. Codependence will never produce that. Codependence produces dysfunction. Dependence on Jesus produces health. I just wanted to clarify that before we look at the first practice in our summer series, abide. So as we look at this first practice, it's the practice of Scripture. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. We're going to begin in chapter 3, and we're going to read from verses 14 to 17. So if you've got a Bible, turn there. It'll be up on the screen behind me as well. Here's what the Word of God says. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So we're going to start our series with a practice you've probably heard of if you've been in church for any length of time, and that's this: read Scripture. And I think it both is and isn't that simple. First of all, the Bible is different than any other book, right? It's not even really a book. It's more like a library with a library of books with different genres that was written in different languages by a bunch of different authors over thousands of years. This is not like any other book. I went to college for 4 years, learned how to understand the basics of Greek, the language that the New Testament was written in, and I still don't really feel like, I feel like I'm just scratching the surface of what this book contains and understanding it. Picking up the Bible isn't quite the same as picking up the latest bestseller, and I think it's okay to be honest about that. But it's also essential for us as followers of Jesus to root ourselves in the Word of God. You'll notice that as Paul writes to Timothy here, he uses a word, remain. Where else have we heard that word? John chapter 15. Remain, abide, dwell. It's the same word that Jesus spoke to his disciples in John chapter 15. Meno is the Greek word used here and there as well. And Timothy, Paul's instruction to Timothy was to abide, to remain, to dwell in Scripture. Not just know them, not just know the Scriptures, not just know about them, but to live them. To live them out faithfully, to be shaped and formed by them. We abide through the practice of reading Scripture. Timothy had had great instruction. He'd been shaped by his grandmother and mother to know the Scriptures, and he wasn't just to know them once, he wasn't just to know about them, but he was to remain faithful to what he had learned in the Scriptures, to live faithfully, and we're called to the same today. And we can't do that if we're not committed to spending time in the Scriptures. We can't do that if we're not committed, if we're not spending time practicing this. But let's start with the why question this morning. Why is this an important part of shaping us? Well, as we read in this passage, Scripture points us to Jesus. Paul writes, "You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." There's obvious Scripture that points to Jesus, right? Like the Gospels, Paul's writings, the New Testament, even Old Testament prophecy. That's obviously, hey, we can see Jesus easily in those passages, right? But even in the Old Testament, even in the story of Israel, we can see how it points to Jesus. Mike Winger uses the illustration of the Karate Kid to talk about this. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Karate Kid. I didn't think I could do any better. So let me share his illustration this morning. When Mr. Miyagi asked Daniel-san to wax on and wax off and to paint the fence, he makes him do it in a specific way, right? You can't just wax on, wax off, any old way you like. No, you have to do it like this, right? And then one day, Daniel, he flips out, right? And I hate this. This is the dumbest thing. And Mr. Miyagi just starts attacking him. And so Daniel's son responds, doing what? Wax on, wax off. And he realizes that all of a sudden, I've been learning blocks, and I've been learning karate. And when we look at the Old Testament, we might not see Jesus immediately through it. You know, just as you're learning how to paint the fence, how to wax on, wax off. But when we get to Jesus in the New Testament, then we can understand the context in all of its fullness. And see the Old Testament the way it was meant to be seen through the lens of Jesus Christ. Think about it this way. If there had been no Old Testament, no Passover, no Eden, no prophecies, no nation trying to live by the law of God and failing, and Jesus shows up, dies on the cross, nobody gets it, right? Nobody gets it without that context that we have in the Old Testament. There needed to be this period of revelation to prepare people for Jesus to make sense of who he was. Scripture points us to Jesus. I believe that all Scripture points us to Jesus. The Old Testament points us to Jesus. The New Testament points us to Jesus. It pointed Timothy to Jesus, and it points us to Jesus. That's why we're starting here. That's why we're starting with this practice. Because it points us to Jesus. And as we read Scripture and we see Jesus in its pages, we grow closer to Him. We grow more like Him. We are shaped and we are formed into His likeness. The second answer to the why question is this: because Scripture is the words of God in the clearest voice that we have. Paul tells Timothy that Scripture is inspired. Some translations will use the words God breathed. What does that mean? Well, first of all, it means we can be confident that when we're reading the words of Scripture, that we are reading what God intended to communicate to His people. Think about an escalator for a minute. How do you go up an escalator? Are you someone who walks up the escalator? Are you someone who just stands there? Are you someone who looks backwards at the people below? Probably not, but I've done it. Look, there's different ways to ride an escalator, and how you use an escalator might be different than how I use an escalator, but at the end of the day, we get where the escalator is taking us. This is an imperfect analogy, but it's sort of similar to how inspiration works. God used each author of Scripture's uniqueness, their writing styles, their experience, their gifts, their abilities, their education, but He guided that process to the place where He wanted it to go. To the place where it's indisputable that the Spirit of God was the one that was taking that author to the place of truth. And so we have Scripture. We have it today. And when we practice Scripture, when we read the words of Scripture, we know that this God-inspired, God-breathed words in front of us are the clearest voice we have that God communicates to you and I. That's not to say that you won't have questions as you read Scripture. That's not to say that it'll always be crystal clear when we read its pages. It isn't always. Sometimes there's work to do. Sometimes there's learning to do, but that's a feature. That's not a bug. The process of discerning God's voice as we read the Word of God helps us to know Him better. It cultivates that dependence and that relationship with Him. And so again, as we hear the voice of God speaking to us through the pages of Scripture, we grow closer to Jesus. We dwell with Him. We find our joy in life and hope in Him as we cultivate our dependence on Him, as we cultivate our relationship with Him. So that's the why. Scripture points us to Jesus, and it gives us the clearest voice of God. But let's move from inspiration to application. How do we actually practice Scripture in our daily lives? Well, the first way that we can practice Scripture is in community. Most of Scripture was intended to be read in community. Think about this. Think about how common literacy would have been in ancient times. Not very common, right? So this makes sense. Think about how more expensive and rare it would have been to have a scroll and a pen, things we take for granted. Think about how costly, how much time it would take to manually have someone copy each letter of Scripture. The letters of Paul were read to the churches. The Psalms were sung in corporate worship. The Torah was read in the synagogue. Just physically and logistically speaking, Scripture was far rarer, and so from ancient times, it was usually read in community. And I kind of think we've lost that to a certain extent. You know, we'll read from a psalm, usually, when we do our call to worship. You know, we'll read from a passage on a Sunday morning in worship. When we gather for our small groups, we'll look at a passage of Scripture. Look, there's all kinds of different ways to practice Scripture in the context of community. And I'm not saying that there's a right way or a wrong way, but I think this is something that we need to have as part of our rhythm. I don't think Scripture was meant to just be a private practice. If we're not reading, gleaning, encountering Jesus in Scripture, in community, I think we're missing out on Scripture the way it was intended to be used. Even in 2 Timothy, we see that Timothy, he didn't learn Scripture by just sitting down and by himself and reading it for himself and just letting God speak to him directly. No, we read, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood." There's community there, isn't there? When we're doing the work of discerning Scripture, listening to the voice of God as we abide in Him, it's critically important that we lean on community, I think for obvious reasons. In community, we get different perspectives. We get pushback where we need it, where we might be going astray. We get encouragement. We get discernment. We get community that is also cultivating dependence. We get people who love Jesus helping us become more like Him. I think we need to practice Scripture in community. But the other answer to that question about how we engage with Scripture as we abide and remain connected to Jesus is in solitude. Alone. By ourselves. I'm not saying that just because I mentioned community, I'm not saying that this is wrong, of course. You know, in a couple of weeks, Pastor AJ from College Heights will be here to talk more about the practice of silence and solitude. But I think it's a gift that we have. We have Bibles. We have Bibles readily available. We have Bibles on our phones. We have more resources than anyone has ever had when it comes to reading Scripture. In some ways, it'd be nice, right, if we could just eat once a week and then not be hungry anymore, right? Like, that'd be kind of nice. Look at how much time we spend eating. You'd have so much time if we could do it that way. But that's not how our bodies are designed, is it? I think in the same way, we can't just come to church once a week and be sustained spiritually. So let me ask you, how often are you hearing from Jesus as you read the words of Scripture? How often are you satisfied in Him? Or are you spiritually starving? Having a meal a week. And then looking for anything else to fill that hunger within. I want to get real practical here. Because there's a tool that I found helpful. And so I'm going to share with you this tool. And we're going to do a little something a little different here this morning. I realize that we're not alone. We're not in solitude here this morning. I think that's okay. But I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. Because I think that one of the best ways that we can practice Scripture is with this tool. So I don't know if you're a journaler. If you're not, I was never a journaler until I picked up this tool. This tool isn't original to me. I got it through a mentoring group. I'm not actually sure where it came from originally, but it's out there. This tool is an acronym, and I love this acronym because I found it really easy to remember. It's called SMORP. All right, SMORP. That's the acronym. The S in SMORP, it stands for Scripture. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put John 15:1-4 up on the screen. And I want you to get out your notes app on your phone. Or if you've got a notebook with you, that's fine too. Or if you've got a bulletin, there's a blank page for sermon notes. Just get that out. We're going to be, like I said, we're going to get real practical here this morning. If you've got your Bible, turn to John 15:1-4. Turn there. It's not John 14:1-4. I wrote that wrong. It's John 15:1-4. And I want you to take a minute or two just to read that scripture. Okay? That's all I'm going to ask you to do is read that scripture. Read it a couple times. And if there's any part of that passage, even if it's just a word or a phrase that sticks out to you, just write it down. So we're going to take a minute or two, and it's going to be quiet in here, but we're going to take a full minute or two just to read this scripture. Write down if there's a word or a phrase that sticks out to you. All right, let's take that time. Now, when you're doing this on your own, you can take as much time as you want, but we'll move on for the sake of our time this morning. So that's scripture. The M stands for message. So let's go back to the passage. Okay, if you can go back to the passage. The M stands for message. Write down any observations you have about this passage. Take a minute, write down any observations you have, any questions. Think about this question. What is Jesus saying to me? What is Jesus saying to me? So let's take a minute and let's ask that question. What is Jesus saying to me? All right, so the O stands for obedience. Let's go back to that question, or back to that passage, and ask yourself this question. Is there a step that God's calling me to? Is there something that God is calling me to? What is God calling me? Write that down. If you can't think of anything, that's okay too. But just ask that question as you dwell with this passage. What is God calling me to? Have a conversation with him as you consider this question. It doesn't necessarily have to be a big thing. It could be a small thing. What step of obedience is God calling you to? Again, let's take another minute here. The R stands for repentance. Let's go back to the passage. Is there something that the Holy Spirit is bringing to you that you need to turn away from? Is there something that he's calling you out of? Is there something that he's calling you, is bringing to mind that you need to turn away from? Write down what that is. Like, I think it's easy for us to be nonspecific when it comes to confessing our sin. But I think even though it's hard, even though it's humbling, I think we need to be vulnerable with God and let him expose where we need correction. So let's take a minute and let's think about that repentance question. What's God bringing to mind here that we need to turn away from? Lastly, the P stands for prayer. Now, if you were alone, this would be the time where you'd spend time in prayer. We're going to pray together in just a moment. And we're going to talk more about the practice of prayer next week. So I don't want to undercut its importance, but I just want to give you this tool. As you seek to remain, abide, and dwell with the source of life, Jesus. Now, I hope this is a helpful tool for you. I have these books at the back. These are just plain books. So if you already have a journal at home, there's nothing special about these books. But if this is something you've never done, practiced scripture, I encourage you to take one. In each book is a little bookmark that has this tool in it. And I've got a whole bunch of just bookmarks as well that I'm going to put at the back too. So you can take it, and hopefully this is a helpful tool for you. Let me ask you this. Is the practice of Scripture something that you're willing to commit to this summer? If this is something that you're willing to commit to, what I'd love to do, I'd love to hear from you as you hear from God. I'd love for God's stories to be shared in this place of how God is speaking to you as you abide and dwell and remain in him. So if you've got a God story, if you put this into practice, and God shows you something, God speaks to you through his word, God calls you to something, let me know. I'd love to share in that joy with you. I'd love to be that community, the part of that community for you. And if you're willing, I'd love to encourage this whole church with those stories. Friends, we need to spend time with Jesus. We need to spend time in Scripture, listening to him. Our world is shaping us constantly. We're not even aware of how it is, I think. But today, this morning, will you commit to staying connected to Jesus, cultivating dependence on him through the practice of Scripture? Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for your word. God, thank you that you have left us not guessing, but that you have left us your word to speak to us. God, I pray that in the midst of all that distracts us, all that calls for our attention, all that shapes us, God, that we would commit to spending time with you in your word. God, would you speak to us? Would you show us what you're calling us to, where we need to repent? And God, would you bring us life as we abide in you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.